James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com. James, thanks for coming on our special.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it, and I love the idea.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of hard work, and I thought to myself, you know, what better of a way to do this but to get as many different voices and say, you know, where have we come now 10 years later, and where are we going even more importantly? I try to end all of our talks on a solution-oriented kick and say, well, what are we going to do about it? So let me ask you that question. What are we going to do about this? It's not going away, is it?
It's not going away, but I know as some of the guests have already kind of said it, you know, as the 10 years have gone by, it becomes impossible to still, you know, only be fixated on 9/11 truth, as, you know, there's the war on our food and the war on our money and all of these other levels. It can't just still be about 9/11 singularly. But I think with so many of us, myself included, you know, it was the event that woke me up. So I can just kind of tell you, I don't know that we've ever gone over this, you and I, Bob. It was my own, I'm a media guy. You and I will talk about film and media and conscious music and all sorts of things on this show. But it was my own natural media curiosity and having, you know, my own computer by, you know, early 2002, just asking the question, hey, what's the video of the plane hitting the Pentagon look like? I just wanted to see it.
And what video?
Exactly. So I ran that search in early 2002 and quickly discovered, oh, there's no video. They're not showing us anything. So, you know, surely the Defense Department maybe has a security camera outside. So that was really, once I realized that they weren't showing that video, it was off to the races. And then discovering all the work that tons of people had already been doing from day one, and then discovering this is just the latest in a series of, you know, engineered events meant to, you know, catalyze public opinion in the same old dialectic to keep us herded along. So yeah, it was just my own curiosity about, you know, I guess, ooh, I want to see what that horrible video looks like. You know, there's always that part of you that does, you know, it's, you know, rubbernecking at a crash, I suppose. It's just not a horrible analogy to make, but that's what did it.
I would love to see the plane wreckage at Shanksville too. I haven't found it yet.
Nope. And so many other things.
Oh, there's pictures of debris. I haven't seen them.
So one of the things I really wanted to mention with you, and knowing that, you know, we would only have this one segment, this, I suppose, could come up to a positive solution-oriented thing. It's not so much an actionable item, like something that Mike Gravel was just talking about, but it's, I suppose, it's sort of a hopeful seed that I have. And as in so many ways, 9/11 does relate to the JFK assassination. But an interesting angle, and I know when I learned this kind of has given me, you know, some bit of, you know, positive hope, I believe. It was March 6th, 1975, that the American public finally saw the Zapruder film, 11 and a half years after the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And it was a show that the one and only Geraldo Rivera had called Goodnight America. And he had on assassination researchers, Robert Groden, who's written a ton of books. And you can, I believe, if you go to Dealey Plaza right this very second, you'll find Robert Groden there. But they also had Dick Gregory on the show, who I believe has been on a fast for 9/11 Truth leading up to the 10th anniversary. But Geraldo had both these guys on, and they showed for the first time to the American public the Zapruder film. And it was that really kickstarted and, you know, lit a fire under the public's butt to say, hey, what is going on here? And now nobody trusted the Warren Commission anymore. And it brought about the formation of the Hart-Schweiker investigation. It contributed to the Church Committee, which helped us, you know, learn so many things about the intelligence agencies, and resulted in the House Select Committee on Assassinations. And the main thing that I know different sources kind of point out of what this really catalyzed was planting the idea, but alerting the public to the reality of multiple assassins in addition to Oswald. My hope is that we haven't seen our Zapruder film of 9/11, and it may not be a film, just it'll be some kind of catalyzing, unforgettable smoking gun that once you see it, you can't unsee it. And once you learn it, you can't unlearn it. Will that come from, you know, all the amazing FOIA work that people have been doing, the Freedom of Information Act requests? Could it be a whistleblower? Could it be an insider kind of coming out to talk about it? or it could be what we even just talked about, one of the 80 plus videos from the Pentagon. So that's the thing I want to put out there.
Here's the problem I have with that idea, though, James, and I agree with that it'd be great, but they did release some frames, supposed frames of the Pentagon building.
Five.
And I think the unfortunate thing is they can stage this. They can, you know, use video fakery to make these things look like they are. And wouldn't you think that Building 7 would be enough unto itself? I mean, we have the footage of that.
Well, and that you're absolutely right, and that's I think why I wanted to try and stress that it may not be a film, it may not be a video thing. It's just, you know, the Zapruder film of 9/11, whatever kind of event that would be. And I don't think I necessarily meant to say that it would be, oh, the government released it and this is the smoking gun. That it would be something heretofore unknown, unseen, and again, we can't kind of predict what that would be.
I couldn't agree more. Do you think that we'll see more false flag terrorism?
I think, as you know, as long as people fall for it, they'll continue to do it. I mean, on a somewhat different level, I was visiting family and saw the CNN 24/7 fear-a-thon during Hurricane Irene. So even if it's not a terror event, people can be whipped into believing pretty much anything that the controlled corporate media tell them. That I find unfortunately disheartening. I guess I always kind of wanted to think that as we became more, you know, technologically advanced, that people would become more media literate, but they're only becoming less media literate and seem to be that much faster to fall for, you know, what Orson Welles did it 70 plus years ago. Imagine what could be done now.
Yeah, I agree. And if we don't learn from history, what's the old saying? It's bound to be repeated.
Yep. So
definitely.
I guess, you know, those are the just kind of the quick kind of thoughts that I wanted to put out there. And, you know, I'm working on my own show this weekend of MediaMonarchy.com podcast to, you know, be related to the events of 9/11. But again, I think just as you're saying, Bob, you don't want to kind of rehash and do the exact same thing. And there's no way as one person I can give some, oh, here's a comprehensive, you know, report of the 10 years after 9/11. I think I just kind of have to go in and kind of be who I am and talk about, you know, the events. I'll probably play some music. I know when I kind of think of 9/11, there's, you know, certain songs and things that are kind of inextricably linked, and we'll kind of go into those things and probably just, you know, be more conversational and share stories and try and connect.
What kind of events you got going on in Portland? I know Clyde Lewis and the folks over there are doing an event on 9/11. Alex was telling me about it.
That's one that I do know about, and that's going to be, you know, 6 o'clock in the evening on the anniversary on this coming Sunday. And I believe Clyde is going to broadcast that live. I think it's going to go out on KXL. Now, I can't confirm that right now, but I'm going to try and go to there. Yeah, he's going to have Dean Haglund and some other folks there talking. I'm sure there are other events going on that, again, I'm sorry, I don't know them off the top of my head, but, you know, there is a We Are Change Portland chapter.
Cool. Check it out, folks. I hope everyone gets involved in your local communities, not just for these sorts of anniversaries, but all the time. I talk in front of my city commission. It doesn't have to be for the 10th anniversary. I talk about, you know, just not 9/11, of course. Obviously, we're talking about a lot of different things, but 9/11, like you said, is a catalyst to a lot of this. It's our major wake-up call for many of us.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, why it means, I think, so much to us here 10 years later. And to try and, again, it seems, I think, for us, it seems so obvious. Can't you guys turn on the news and see that, you know, yeah, Palin is a fool. Yes, Obama is a fraud. Why do you guys keep falling for this same thing over and over again? It's that kind of stuff that makes you kind of want to pull your hair out, but you have to, I think, be measured and be consistent and be resolute and be the change you want to see in the world. And I think that's probably the best way to plant seeds with people around you.
Yeah, plant those seeds, folks, both mentally and in the ground as well, as you know. So, yeah, James, I'd love to have you on again this month since we didn't get to do the full hour to catch up with you. What 9/11 truth music would you suggest? I've been playing a song for the first 5 minutes of each hour.
You know, I don't know if I can know something off the top of my head, but I did enjoy, you started the show off with Roy Shivers.
Roy Shivers, yeah.
But some folks may or may not remember that that's Daniel Abrams, who used to run a fantastic site called FalseFlagNews.com, who has, I believe, recently popped back up on Twitter at
Great.
False Flag News. Cool. But yeah, as far as any specific music off the top of my head, I can't quite remember. Like I referenced for my upcoming show, I think some of those tracks we're going to play aren't, you know, going to be necessarily, you know, related or speaking or rapping about 9/11. I think for me, you know, I was at my college radio station. I was the music director. So on that morning, of course, things were happening in the studio and went to the studio as, wow, you know, sort of the command center. So there are songs that I know we had on our playlist that again are kind of, you know, embedded when I think of 9/11. I remember these songs by, yeah, Sigur Rós and
okay,
Bright
well,
Eyes.
Hey James, I hate to cut it short. Thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate being part of this.